You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, Colt Molesky here, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Especially now, we have a special couple of episodes that we launched over this week, previewing every single NBA team that is all on there. All 30 hosts got together and collaborated for this special few episodes, getting you ready for the NBA season. Make sure to check all of that out on the Locked On NBA podcast. Today, we're going to be doing a little previewing of our own. We're going to be guessing the narratives, trying to see what the storylines are for this team the first month of the season, taking a little bit of a broad scope look before we really dive into the Spurs matchup for the Timberwolves in the opening day game for the Timberwolves 2018-2019 season, taking a look at the first month of games, what the narratives will be and all that. And here to help me, Seth Topol, repeat offender on the podcast, host of The Scoop, among other things. He's a man who does a ton, and he's also nice enough to join us today on a Friday. Seth, thanks
so
much.
What up? My man, thanks for having me on the show. Always, as I always say, but it's always true, it's always fun to be on the other side of the microphone, and happy to talk some Timberwolves because it's not like there's not a lot to discuss.
Oh my gosh, so much is going on. It feels like every day when I look through, I always try and read a few NBA stories each day. It feels like every time I go through, whether it's SB Nation, The Ringer, The Athletic, ESPN, if you're looking for NBA content, the Timberwolves drama is right at the top of what everyone is talking about. So it'd be nice for the NBA season to get started, and hopefully the Timberwolves start up positive, so it can be something good that people are talking about around the Timberwolves instead of all this negative stuff. But with the front office and everything, there is plenty negative to discuss about the Timberwolves. Give me your like 10-second take, because we haven't had you on in a minute. Give me your 10-second take on the Timberwolves right now today.
A complete and utter dysfunctional mess.
Yeah, that's about right. I put most of the onus on the front office and Tibbs and Glenn Taylor, giving Tibbs so much of the reins. But there's plenty of blame to go around at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the frustration by Butler, especially if he feels like he can't compete fully in the Western Conference with the team that he currently has. But at the same time, you can go about it so many other ways, and trying to light a fire under his teammates, I can understand that as well. But I kind of get lost in that part of the argument, considering that Butler went right into an ESPN interview that was prearranged after this practice blow-up. If it was simply him just getting on people at practice and that was the end of it, then okay, he's just trying to light a fire under people. I could respect that, but I just, playing this out in front of the national media at every single turn gets a little bit ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it's been Tibbs not doing anything to stop it and just letting it all play out and just continue to be ugly and seeming to embrace it in some comments that he made today. And then Glenn Taylor just continues to be completely silent. I think that's probably the most disappointing part, is that Glenn has just not had any sort of voice in this entire situation since it started.
Yeah, well, and the other part of it, too, the other side of it, too, is I think that it almost feels like for Butler, not only does it feel like maybe this team can't compete in the West, but it feels like maybe some of the players on the team don't care about competing in the West, which is a bigger issue, and helped lead into this. But that piggybacking off of that, narrative-wise, I think the stories going into the first month of basketball for the Timberwolves could be just as crucial as the ones coming out of it. They have a brutal schedule. If you go just from the 17th, which is when they play the Spurs, to the 16th, go about a full month, you're playing the Trailblazers twice. You're playing the Raptors. You're playing the Cavs. You're playing the Spurs. You're playing the Warriors. You're playing the Jazz, the Bucks, the Lakers twice, the Pelicans. I mean, this is a brutal stretch for the Timberwolves. As far as easy games, you only have I think the Clippers is a tough game. The Pacers in there, that'll be a tough game. I think the Mavericks even could be interesting with Doncic. Luka could be pose a little bit of a threat, but that, probably the Mavericks, the Kings, and the Nets are the easy games in that stretch. That's three games, and you're playing a ton of teams that are either expected or were postseason teams last season and retaining a lot of that roster that they had last year. So this is a brutal stretch. First of all, just looking at the games that the Timberwolves have to play, what are your thoughts about this first month? What do you think this first month is going to tell you
about
the Timberwolves?
Well, the biggest question facing this team heading into the season is how are they going to be able to shake off all of this preseason drama, and how are they going to be able to put it together on the court? I mean, you look at a lot of these teams, and there are plenty of teams that are going to be trying to figure out where they're at with some new pieces. I mean, San Antonio and Toronto certainly trying to figure out after the DeRozan and Leonard swap where they're at. The Spurs have lost a couple of key pieces, so they're going to be trying to just see where they're at in that first game. You've got Cleveland's sans LeBron James. They'll be trying to figure out kind of what their identity is now, if it's Kevin Love's team, or if Tristan Thompson really believes that they can get back to the Eastern Conference Finals again. Indiana had a scary and sneaky good offseason, so that I think is going to be an incredibly difficult game. You've got, like you said, first look at LeBron. Oh, and then you've got Portland and New Orleans as well. So I think the biggest thing is just we're going to be able to tell very early on if this team is going to be able to rally together and fight under one uniform, or if all of this drama that's happened in the preseason, if you get a couple of losses, like especially in that first four games, even first six, if you come out of that 3-3, I think you feel okay about where you're at. But if you come out of that at 2-4 or 1-5, is that going to be enough to just throw the season completely into chaos?
Well, and the other interesting aspect too, and you bring up some good points about how starting out behind the eight ball right away in the first six games even could be a problem with the negative narrative heading into the season. But the other thing too is you look at these teams, you've got the Trailblazers, you've got the Warriors, the Clippers, a bunch of the teams, the Lakers, a bunch of the teams they play early in the season are not only going to go fast and up-tempo, they're also going to attack from outside. So you're going to find out right away if the Timberwolves are willing to adjust their style of play and play more outside, or if they're stuck in their old ways. Because if you're looking at this first month of the season, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Jazz, those are the teams you're really going to be able to maximize Towns against and really go inside heavy and play into the paint really heavily. But outside of those teams, most of these opponents, you're going to have to attack outside. You're going to have to stretch them out, and you're going to have to play up tempo with your offense if you want to compete in these games. You're going to see if the Timberwolves are flexible and using the entirety of their roster, or if they're going to get caught in that old half court slow pace style of basketball, shoot when the shot clock's down at the end kind of basketball. And I think it's going to be very telling how many steps this team has actually made early on to be different from last year's
team.
Yeah,
you're right on. I mean, you look at right away, they play Wednesday at the Spurs, then they go Friday, Saturday, home against Cleveland, and then at Dallas. And then they later on November 4th, they play at Portland, then they play Monday at the LA Clippers. So they got a couple of back-to-backs early on. So it'll be an early test to see if this bench truly is revamped and improved, because obviously early on in the season you're going to be trying to keep guys a little bit more fresh. Then again, it is Tom Thibodeau leading the team, so who knows? But the bench is going to be, I think, one of the most intriguing parts for me to watch early on, is just to see what sort of opportunities guys get, and if they're able to produce better than the bench that we had last year.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that you've got to play this roster. We talked about this when we did the couple of episodes facing Wiggins, right? You got to play – you got to put guys in a spot where they're actually going to succeed. And there's players on this roster that can help you do that. James Dunley, Anthony Tolliver, they're three-point shooting guys. They want to shoot the three. But you've got to give them minutes, and you've got to give them a chance to actually do that. And having them shoot the three and then having Wiggins run under that is going to be putting guys in places where they can succeed. Having Wiggins shoot the three because you don't want to have Anthony Tolliver and James Nunley average 15 minutes a game, that's putting players out of position, and that's being stubborn and being stuck in a style of basketball just because you think you can win with it and not because that's what your roster is giving you. And those that's the difference between last year's team and this year's team, and that's the difference between wins and losses as well. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how flexible Tibbs is right away. And like you mentioned as well, there's a back-to-back right away pretty early on in the season for the Timberwolves. How do they attack that, and how do they come away from that? Because not only is that back-to-back on the road, but that's part of a five-game stint where they're on the West Coast. So you've got to be really good as a coaching staff handling personnel when you're on the road for such a long period of time, and when you have back-to-backs in that mix too. You got to be really good coaching-wise, setting up the roster in a way where it can succeed through all of that. And we're going to learn a lot about how this coaching staff is handling such tasks. And it'll be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. And especially the other thing too is, I mean, you look at the matchup against Golden State. Obviously, it's going to be tough to win that game. The key is, though, if this team can keep games close, that's one of the biggest things for me, too, is there are going to be some games where you flat out don't match up well. I mean, the Houston Rockets playoff series was a perfect example of that. So if you can keep it to a close competitive loss as opposed to a meltdown blowout, that changes perception a lot as well. Because let's say on that West Coast swing, you go at Golden State, at Portland. Let's say you lose both of those games you lose to Golden State by like 8, and you maybe lose on a late shot by 2 against Portland. Even though you went 0-2, you're like, okay, we kept things pretty close. We feel like if we match up against those teams at home, that we would be able to have a better outcome. If you lose to those teams by, like, if you lose to Golden State by, like, 30, and then you lose to Portland by, like, 25, that feels like a disaster. So even though they've got these tough road games, if you can win a couple that you're maybe not quite expected to win, but if you can keep them close for the most part, then that changes the perception too.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a perfect way to get into our conversation about narratives. First, let's take a break for some sponsors, though, and then we'll get into it. Here are some sponsors kind enough to help us out on the Locked On Wolves show. All right, so we're previewing the first month of the season, taking a wide scope look at the Timberwolves and their opponents, maybe guessing some of the narratives headed out of that first month of the season. A lot of crazy narratives headed into it, so it'll be interesting to see what the conversation is and how it's changed around this team after a month of basketball, actual basketball. Seth is here to help me break it all down. And you mentioned losing close or being competitive with really good teams is enough to change the narrative. And that's the other thing, too, is that last year the knock on this team was they could play with the Warriors, they could play with the Cavs, they could play with the Jazz, the Thunder, playoff teams. But when it came to teams like the Kings, the Clippers, the Nets, the Hawks, they lowered themselves to the competition they were playing against. And so you look at a perfect kind of measure of how this team has grown or how it hasn't, maybe. It would be the unfortunate side of this. But you play the Warriors and the Trailblazers, then you play the Clippers, then back to the Lakers, and then the Kings. Now, the Clippers and Kings might not be playoff teams, but they're still, the Clippers especially, are still a pretty solid roster who's going to challenge you. How the Timberwolves play teams like the Clippers and the Kings when they're mixed in with teams like the Blazers, the Lakers, the Warriors says almost more than how they play against the Warriors.
No? Yeah, I would agree, because you're going to have those games that you have to win against those inferior teams, regardless of if it's on the road or at home. You just have to go take care of business, because your roster is better than those teams, and the home court advantage shouldn't be enough to swing things. Now, we saw last year they had that disastrous game at Atlanta. They had the other one against Memphis at home. So, yeah, playing down to their competition, that's something that they can't afford to do, especially because now last year in the Western Conference you had pretty much the entire field of eight that made the playoffs. You figured that those were going to be the eight teams that did. You had one team in Denver that could have made it that didn't. They ended up obviously getting beaten by the Wolves on the last day of the season. So that was one team that probably could have made the playoffs but didn't. The Clippers were the next closest thing, but they weren't going to make the playoffs. And now you've had a couple of teams that have been added into that mix. You got the Lakers with LeBron. So that's one more team thrown into the pecking order. So that's less of a margin of error. So the easiest way to take care of your business is to beat teams that you're better than. And that extends to both on the road and at home. Because, I mean, if you are playing against a team that is not good, like the Sacramento Kings, you mean to tell me that it's going to be difficult to win in an arena that, you know, probably is at like 25% capacity? It's going to be that much more difficult to win there than it is with your entire arena at home filled up with your fans. There shouldn't be that much of an advantage when you're on the road against some of those teams that don't sell out arenas. Should be able to just turn that into a neutral site game pretty much.
No, I absolutely agree. And so now moving into, if you had to guess some of the narratives or storylines that will be flying around this Timberwolves team headed into the last, or headed out of the opening month of the season, assuming that Jimmy Butler has already been traded and that's not a storyline, that he's on the team and that they're dealing with that, assuming that he's off the roster, what are some of the things you think people are saying about the Timberwolves headed out of the first month of basketball?
Assuming that Butler is not on the roster, then obviously the biggest question becomes, what does this team look like with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins as its two big stars? Obviously it's not going to change a whole lot, because you're losing one of your better wing players. So still your identity is going to be to kind of grind it out and let Towns do his thing down low. But one of the other narratives then becomes, well, who's going to be the one to take the last shot? That was Butler last year. Now, is that Towns this year? Is it Wiggins? Is it Derrick Rose? Who gets
Derrick Rose?
Who gets that final shot? That's one of the other byproducts. And I think another one is going to be who steps in to fill that leadership void left by Butler departing. Is that then one of those other veterans, like Derrick Rose or Taj Gibson? I think those will be the biggest, assuming that Butler is traded at some point, that would be following this Timberwolves team as the season goes on.
I like it. I like it a lot, especially the leadership one. I think that one is an underrated one of who takes over. And you can say whatever you want about maybe Jimmy Butler was not the leader this team needed or the one it wanted, but he still was the leader that you had. And so there's going to be a void there naturally when he's off the roster, and who's going to step up and take it. I think it's very important to the Timberwolves and to the future of this team. I think another one too is people talking about how big this roster is. Is it actually the 10, 11 guys that can contribute, or is it going to be six dudes again? I think that's huge, because I really think the difference between this team being a 6-7 seed and this team being the 11th team in the West is just dependent on how creative Tibbs is willing to get. Because I think if you kind of mirror the Boston Celtics and play 10, 11 guys deep, and you're willing to rotate out a bunch of guys, and there's plenty of guys on the bench that are averaging over 10 minutes a game, I think that there's a formula that can actually be super successful for the Timberwolves. But the other side of it is, I think it can be super stagnant and super ugly if this team has its starters averaging 42 minutes again. And the difference is so big, and the changes that need to be made are pretty small when you really look at it. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, one of the other narratives that will be created with a Butler departure is then what does that do for this team's defense? I mean, Butler, one of the leaders defensively for sure. You don't really have much in the way of defense. I mean, Josh Okogie certainly in the preseason has looked like a guy who is going to really be able to provide some defense. But other than that, Taj Gibson probably is about it. So then what does this defense look like? A defense that was like 27th or 28th in the league with Butler. What do they look like without him? That's going to be another question against a very loaded Western Conference.
And leading into that, I think the last kind of the other narrative I see headed out of the first month is either Towns. People are saying he's a good stats, bad team kind of guy, like Love, the narrative around Love, or they're talking about how he's imposing his will on teams. I think if you see the version of Towns that you saw in December, January last year, that's a guy who can impact how this team plays defense for a positive. Or you can see him putting up a double-double and like a 30 and 10 every night, but they're losing by 15 points because nobody's playing any defense. And again, it really is, I think, a lot of it leads back to how they use this roster and how they attack the opposition. And I talked about a little bit going into this Bucks game, but stretching the floor is just going to help Towns become a better player. And it's so crucial to this Timberwolves team, and it's something that you can do with the guys on your roster. Now you just got to play them.
Yeah, that's 100% right. Is you know what you've got on this team. It really didn't change all that much from last year to this year. So you know what you've got. The question now is just to put them in a position to succeed and to just go try to win the whole thing. Get the Wolves back to the playoffs again and make some noise.
Yeah, and you've got shooters. You gotta just bite the bullet and realize who on the roster can hit threes and who on the roster is going to need to rim run and move off ball. And now you just got to put those guys in positions to succeed. And that's as simple as it gets, but now they just got to execute it. Before we head out here, Seth, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on The Scoop, of course. You can check out the show page, myklgr.com/The Scoop. Follow me on Twitter, at Seth Topes, Seth, T-O-U-P-S, all one word. I plug a bunch of stuff there. We've got the Black and Blue Preview, previewing the weekend of games for the NFC North. That will be out later this afternoon into tomorrow, and just we've got a bunch of fun bits that we do as well. Colton and I will be putting out our college football picks probably late tonight, early tomorrow. So plenty going on. The show today features some more Timberwolves talk and a look at just some other things going on in the sports world as we continue to gear up for another busy weekend.
Beautiful. Make sure to go check out all of that, as well as checking out the Locked On NBA podcast. Again, all of the hosts came together. We made a few big preview shows for the Locked On NBA podcast. So make sure you're checking that out to get a quick snippet of what's going on for every NBA team and NBA roster to get you prepped for the NBA season that is rapidly approaching. Seth, thanks so much for joining the show. And thank you, everyone, to listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.